And we pray. O Lord, our Maker, Redeemer, and Comforter, we are assembled in your presence to hear your holy word. We pray that you will open our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that through the preaching of your word we may be taught to repent of our sins, to believe on Jesus in life and in death, and to grow day by day in grace and holiness. Hear us for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, and I hope you do, otherwise you, certainly you can follow along in the bulletin as well. But we're going to turn to the book of Judges, chapter 16. And it is the account of Samson and Delilah. And I'm sure you're all familiar with that story from Sunday school days at least, and beyond. And we're going to pick it up at verse 4. Afterward, it happened that he, Samson, loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And how interesting that Delilah's name in the Hebrew, it means to become weak. To become weak. So you see here that Samson, if you substitute those words for the name of Delilah, you see that Samson got what he asked for. Samson loved to become weak. And he became very weak, as we very well know from the account. And you know, it's something that we have to battle constantly. We love to become weak, deluded with the ways of the world. We have to fight that tendency. And this was not the way God intended Samson to live. In fact, he had been set apart as a Nazarite. You know, okay, what's a Nazarite? Well, a Nazarite was one who took a vow to separate themselves from the way of the world. And in Samson's case, his parents, she was having difficulty in conceiving a child, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them and said, well, you're going to have a child, but he's going to have to be a Nazarite. So they took the vow for Samson that he would be a Nazarite. And this was so serious, that the separation from the world, that his mom was not allowed to have anything from the vine during her pregnancy because of alcohol. That it might be some sort of alcohol that could come out of that, and he was to be set aside from that. And the Nazarite was not to have anything that came from the vine. By the way, that's a strong pro-life passage there. That, you know, Samson was the Nazarite, but Samson was with her from conception on, and she was not to have any fruit from the vine. Okay, so they were also not to cut their hair or shave their beard. And you go, well, what's that got to do with being set apart from the world? Well, the idea of not shaving your beard or cutting your hair is that of you don't get caught up in vanity. In vanity. You just let it grow where it may, and you end up looking like John the Baptist. You know, wild and all unkempt and everything else. But the idea is that shows a picture of a staying away from pride. Vanity. So you don't cut the hair. And then they were not to touch any unclean thing. And these were all external things, but they pointed to what was really important, which is the internal purity. And then his parents were told that Samson was going to be raised up and set aside by God to deliver the Israelites from the Philistines. And he was given supernatural strength to overcome the Philistines. And it's interesting to note, what was the source of his strength? It was his hair. The length of his hair. That was the source of his strength. And you can begin to make the connection between vanity or pride and godly strength. What does the Bible say? God resists the proud. He resists the vain. But he gives grace, spiritual strength, to the humble. To the humble. And you see the connection there. And I will tell you that in this account of Samson and Delilah, hair, Samson's hair, is a type of grace. It is a type of grace. Now, we go, all right, Nazarite, Schmazarite. What in the world has that got to do with you and I today? In the New Testament era, the era that we're living in right now and have been living in since Christ ascended into heaven, anyone who is baptized is a Nazarite. You've been baptized? Well, hello, you're a Nazarite. Okay? So don't bother cutting your hair anymore. No, that's nothing. It's not that we have to do those physical things anymore. Because our purity is not in the external, it is in the internal. And our baptismal vow, which was taken by your parents, just as Samson's parents took the Nazarite vow for him. You were brought to the waters of baptism, and your parents took this vow for you. And the vow that they took was very similar to the Nazarite vow, in that they vowed that you would not serve the devil, his works, or his ways, and rather that you would serve the triune God and him alone. That is the New Testament Nazarite vow. And at your baptism, you also were given supernatural strength, and that the Holy Spirit came to dwell in you. So you see the similarities. But as we pick up Samson's story, we see that he's been playing very loose with his Nazarite vow. And don't we do the same thing with our baptismal vow? We get sucked into the ways of the world and we start playing loose with it. And Samson especially played loose in the area of sexual purity. He really had a problem in that area. First of all, it started out with his marriage to this Philistine girl. Oh man, if you read the account of that, he just had to have her. And that bombed. I mean, because she ditched him and actually went on and married one of his groomsmen. And he didn't handle it very well. He didn't handle it very well at all. Because if you look at verse 1, the first thing he did, he went and found a harlot and slept with her. And here in verse 4, we see that he moves in with good old, let me become weak, Delilah. And in the biblical account here, Delilah would represent the world. Delilah would represent the world. And how the world seeks to dilute your faith. The lords of the Philistines, they would represent demons. And the Philistines themselves would be a type of Satan or the devil. So in short here, we got Samson hanging out in wrong places. He's playing with fire here. He's putting himself into a situation or situations where the devil can easily gain the upper hand. And I tell you, when you start shacking up with the world, when you start cozying up with the world, you're inviting weakness. You're inviting Delilah into your spiritual life. Or as James says in James 4:4, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. And that's what Samson was doing, setting himself up. Verse 5. And the lords of the Philistines, again, representing the devil's henchmen, namely demons, came up to her, Delilah, and said, entice him. Find out where his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. We'll make you feel so good. Delilah, representing the world, and the devil, always using the people and the things of this world. And often, unwittingly, the people of the world are used. They don't even know it, that they're being used. And he uses them and the things of this world to help expose our weaknesses for the purpose of overpowering us, binding us up in sin, afflicting us, because he wants us chained to sin. He wants us to be tormented by guilt. I'll show you how he does this. You know, I don't believe that the devil has the power to read our minds. I don't believe that. I don't believe he has the power to read our minds, but I tell you what, he might as well have the power to read our minds. Because he does have the power to observe you and I. His demons are always observing us. They're even here today. They're observing us. They're watching what's going on. They observe us and they see how we react to the things that come our way. Things that the world throws our way. And he's been observing mankind ever since creation. And he takes great notes. He takes great notes. He knows the areas in which we are likely to fail. And he uses them to entice us away from God. He can spot a covetous look a mile away. Ooh, that person's a little covetous. I think I know how to get at that person. He can see the lingering gaze of lust. He knows the body language of pride. He knows the quizzical look of doubt. And I wonder, I mean, it doesn't say so in Scripture, but I wonder how long he observed Eve in the garden before he sprang. Was he watching her when she went by the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Did she just pause a little bit and just look at it, wonder what that's like? Did she do that? And then when the time was right, he pounced on her. He saw that look of doubt, that hesitancy, and he said, "Did God really say?" I wonder. He is so good at observing our actions that we swear he can read our mind. But remember this, he who was placed in you at your baptism is greater than he who was he placed alongside? No. He who is in the world. That's why I say I don't think the devil can read your mind. He's outside. But he can observe. And he does a bang up job of it too. As he observes and then he uses those observations to tempt. You know, the spiritual world, we don't like to think about it. It makes us uneasy. Because we can't see. But remember, I forget who it was, Elijah or Elisha, and the city was surrounded by the Assyrians, and this guy, "Oh, we're in trouble." And Elijah says, "Now let me show you something." Opens up his eyes to see the spiritual world, and suddenly the Assyrians were the ones that were in trouble. So there's a very real world out there. God sees and notes everything that we do, but the devil's also observing. So Delilah says to Samson, "Please tell me where your great strength lies and with what you may be bound to afflict you." Isn't that the most stupid question you've ever heard? Like Samson's going to blurt it out and say, "Yeah, this is how you can take away my great strength. Here, this is exactly what you do." Well, you know, it may seem like a stupid question, but to me, this was the opening kickoff. This was the first pitch. This was the jump ball. This was the devil saying, "All right, this is the world saying, game on. Here we go." And you want to say, flee, Samson. Flee. Get out of the arena. Because the game is about to begin. And we read in verse 7, and Samson said to her, get thee behind me, Satan. And he packed up his overnight bag, deodorant and his underwear and his things, and he was getting ready to move out. He didn't have to pack a hairbrush or anything like that, but he just packed, and that's what he did, and that's the end of the story. Is that what happened? No. It was not Samson's habit to say no to temptation. And people, that's one thing we all need to learn to develop, is a habit of saying no to temptation. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will what? Flee from you. But Samson doesn't do that. He thinks, I can handle it. And he decides to lie to her and to toy with her a little bit just to show her how strong he really is. I can handle this. How often do we have that same attitude when it comes to sin? And so he says, if they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. So the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, and she bound him with them. Now look how the devil works with the world. Look how the devil and his demons work with the world. They bring that which they believe will be the ruin of the unbeliever and put it into the hands of the world. And so many times, again, the unsuspecting world does the rest. People under the sway of the world, under the sway of the devil, will glorify alcohol. They'll glorify illicit sex. They'll glorify money, power. They'll cast doubt. And the world, even though many times they don't even know it, are being used to imprison the unsuspecting victim. But remember this, Jesus came to set the captives free. Verse 9, now men were lying in wait, staying with her in the room, and she said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. That's like saying, sick 'em. Sick 'em, demons. But he broke the bowstrings as a strand of yarn breaks when it touches fire, so the secret of his strength was not known. No big deal for him. He handled that first one very easy. But it still was close. I mean, the Philistines were in that room ready to jump him. But Samson dodged the bullet because God had given him the means to dodge the bullet. How often has that happened to us? The time or the times you drove home drunk, but nothing happened. The one night stand where you escaped pregnancy or disease, or the time you took something from your employer and it wasn't missed, or the time that incident with the police that your parents never found out about. How often does that happen? Then Delilah said to Samson, look, you have mocked me and told me lies. Now please tell me what you may be bound with. So he said to her, if they bind me securely with new ropes that have never been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. Therefore Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And men were lying in wait, staying in the room. But he broke them off his arms like a thread. Delilah said to Samson, until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me what you may be bound with. And he said to her, if you weave the 7 locks of my head into the web of the loom. So she wove it tightly with the batten of the loom and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he awoke from his sleep and pulled out the batten and the web from the loom. Samson just keeps playing with the world and getting away with it. But I want you to notice something here. Each time, it gets a little more difficult. The bowstring, 1 string, easily broken. Rope, 3 strands,
a little bit more difficult. 7 strands braided into his hair. And even that got it worse because it wasn't something that was loose and could be cast off, but it was attached right to the loom. You see, the deeper you get in, the more difficult it is to get out. And by the last time, with the hair attached to the womb, there was some pain involved for Samson. The deeper you get in, the more painful it is to get out. Then she said to him, I love this, she said to him, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You've mocked me these 3 times and have not told me where your great strength lies. Oh my, did you know that line was that old? How many times have we heard that one? And if you've got your notes with you, okay, you fill in the blank. If you love me, you will fill it in. Most common answer probably is, if you love me, you'll go all the way. Or, if you're really my friend, you will drink with me. And it's not like they're out to get you. They're, like I said, they're unsuspecting. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know who's using them. And it came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death. What do you catch out of that? The world is relentless, folks. It never wearies of coming after you, trying to get you to join in their ways, to sin, to separate yourself from God. The world is relentless. And the word pressed here means a continuous urging. The pressure is on continually. I shouldn't have to tell you that. You should know that. Think about the continuous pressings and urgings of the world that we get to join in their ungodly ways. You get it on TV all the time. You get it in the movies. You get it in advertisements. You get it in peer pressure. And it's constant. And Samson finally crosses the line. He's been dabbling with it. Now he crosses the line and he goes to the point of no return. He would now be stripped of his God-given protection as he goes all in with the world. And he told her all of his heart and said to her, no razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up once more, for he's told me all his heart. So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. I tell you, don't underestimate the tenacity of the devil and his henchmen in spiritual warfare. They don't care how many times you cry wolf, they'll be back at your door at a moment's notice. You and I, how many of us would have put up with this game that Samson was playing? We would probably, after the second or third time, forget that. Not the devil. Relentless. Relentless. And so, the world says, I think I've got him this time. And the demons come running in for the kill. And they're confident. They brought the temporal reward with them. Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees, using that weak spot that Samson had for women, and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head, and then she began to torment him. It's like testing, 1, 2, 1, 2. Did this really work this time? Hello? Testing, 1, 2. So she's tormenting Samson, and he can't do anything to respond. His strength left him, the Bible says. The ability to bounce back was now gone, and he was now ready to be turned over to the demonic henchmen. And I'll tell you what, if you know the rest of the story, things did not get very pretty from that point on. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." So he awoke from his sleep and said, "Oh, I'll go out as before, as at other times, and just shake myself free from the world, from the tangled mess I've gotten into." But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. What chilling words. What a terrible mistake, Samson. You totally underestimated the enemy. You totally overestimated your own strength. And you forgot that your strength comes from the Lord. Never forget that your strength comes from God. And he says, like so many, "Oh, you know what? I'll just repent and ask for forgiveness and everything will be as it was before." But like Samson, we forget that our strength comes from the Lord. And that we're saved by grace. It's God's strength, not our own. And it comes from Him, not something that we can turn on and off like a water faucet. It comes from Him and from Him alone. And if He decides to pull it back for one moment, we lose His protection. Typically, He does it to get our attention. When Samson went all in with the world, God said, "That's it, Samson." And the Lord departed from him. And he lost all of his protection. And oh boy, did he get roughed up. First of all, what do? They poked out his eyes. "Oh, we don't want you seeing the light, Samson. We're going to blind you to truth." And so they poked out his eyes. And they bound him further and further in sin, and they put him to work for them, grinding grain in the prison house that they could feed on his laboring under sin. Oh, the glee that the Philistines had, the glee the devil has when we labor for him under sin. Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters and he became a grinder in the prison. The end. The end. Boy, imagine if the story ended there. What hopelessness. And maybe you've seen it with others. They get so caught up, so entangled, so imprisoned, so blind to God and His Word that their life is nothing more than a downward spiral to hell. And what could have been at the baptismal font, what could have been, what God intended for them to be, is wasted away on a lifestyle of sin. What hope is there for the Samsons of this world, the ones who have played with sin and gone all in? But the story doesn't end here. The spiritual warfare is not over yet. Look at the hope that we find in verse 22. And if you've gone all in, grab onto this verse 22 and take a look at it, because it starts out and says, however, we're not done yet. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it's been shaven. Hair here in this story symbolizes God's grace. And hair is relentless. Well, sometimes it stops growing in certain spots, but it keeps going. And we got to shave our legs. And we got to shave our beards. Grandpa's 95 years old, and we got to keep that beard looking good all the time, because it just keeps growing. Because you see, this is the point. God's grace is relentless. God's grace is like that beard and that hair on Samson, and it just keeps coming and coming. And there, the devil is relentless, but God is more relentless. And it keeps coming. His grace keeps coming, and there is hope. There is hope. And when I read that, you know, I thought, I'm going to do a little search for hair. Not here, but I mean a word search in Scripture. A couple of verses. Matthew 5:36. You cannot make one hair white or black. It speaks of grace. Only God can do it. Luke 21:18. But not a hair of your head shall be lost. Matthew 10:30. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. And as I read that, I get, this is what I understand. God is in charge of hair. God is in charge of hair. God is in charge of grace. It is by grace you're saved, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And the hair on Samson's head began to grow again. And I had this sudden urge to play the theme from Jaws. Wah-wah. Because I get this foreboding feeling that something bad is going to happen to the Philistines. Something bad is going to happen to the world. Because God in His mercy has come back to Samson with grace, the source of Samson's strength, and the world better watch out. Where are you in this Samson saga? Have you packed your bags and told Delilah I'm out of here? Praise the Lord. I'm done playing with the world. I'm all in with you, God. Or are you playing with the world like Samson did? Or are you all in with the world, and now you see no way out? Well, listen, the next time you're shaving your legs or you're shaving your beard, you think about God's grace, because He's still coming at you. It's still coming at you. And look to verse 28 and see what Samson did when it looked hopeless for him. Then Samson called to the Lord, saying, O Lord God, remember me. Where have you heard that prayer before? The thief on the cross, when all looked like it was lost, remember me. And God heard that prayer. And He heard this prayer of Samson. Samson prayed for two things. He said, Lord, remember me. And then he said, strengthen me. Grace me. Give me more grace. Two requests. Remember me, strengthen me, grace me. And the Lord answered his prayer. And you know the rest of the story. Because he went to the pillars of the temple. And the Philistines were inside the temple. And with this grace that God relentlessly brought back to Samson, he pulled down the temple pillars and the Philistines were crushed. Along with Samson. And another picture for us. Because yes, it did cost Samson his life. But that's what it means to follow Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be all in. We need to die to ourself. In dying to self, that's where we get the victory. But don't wait till the last minute. Go all in with God now. Before you do major damage to yourself, or to others, or worse yet, run the risk of losing God's protection. And thank God that He is just as relentless as the devil and the world. And thank God that He's more powerful. Amen and amen.